Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. Yes, I'm Ollie Davis, here on a Saturday reviewing SmackDown, and it's not just me. It's not Luke. It's not Laurie. It's not housemate Simon. It's not the usual team of Chopper Pete Quinnell and Just Dave, because they're both on holiday. But someone else who was on holiday, but actually has decided to show up for work, unlike some people, Pete, making his return to this kind of creative outlet. He's only been on the written word for months. The Rolling R Superstar, Andy Datson, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, everyone. It's very nice of you to invite me on here. I was sitting at home on Wednesday, and I just got a text saying, Andy, I have a proposition. And I was thinking, oh, is it something to do with the website? What's going on? Do I need to come in on my holiday? But no, it was a nice little surprise. Just like, would you like to be on the Saturday review show with me? Because everyone else has left me.
Well, I didn't say it like that.
No, you didn't.
I said, you know, I really believe in you.
Yeah, yeah.
I think now's the time to try it out again.
Because I've grown a lot.
Yeah.
I'm much more mature. I'm just a better person in general now that I've got more responsibility.
It's just a coincidence that literally
no one else is here. Yeah,
don't let that get in your head.
Far too late to rope in any other of Laurie's housemates. You couldn't get his girlfriend in or anything like that.
No, I tried as well.
But
again, complete coincidence that I tried all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
That I was just posting random, you know, like Facebook groups.
Mm.
Some that weren't even to do with media or production.
Yeah, yes.
I just randomly posted in my where I grew up, the Village Hall's Facebook thing, where they usually organise church bake sales. I said, is there literally anyone?
Anyone else?
You don't even have to know about wrestling.
Otherwise, it has to be him. And I've got a bit of a reputation, so they would know what you'd meant as well.
But again, that was nothing to do with me asking you. You got this on your own merit, man.
It's very kind of you, and I'm very pleased to be here.
So if anyone's joined the podcast over the last 6 months, maybe you need to do a little intro.
Mm.
Who are you? Who is Andy Datson?
I'm Andy. I'm 24.
You're gonna lead with the age.
Yeah, I was born in Sweden. No, but I am the editor-in-chief now of the WrestleTalk.com, which supplies you with news, features, reviews.
Community tab posts.
Which everyone really likes. And I've been here since the 23rd of October 2018.
Yeah.
I've been here for just over a year now, and this is my second ever. We didn't do a podcast last time.
No, because I'm hoping I can put this together.
Yeah.
I have set up everything today. Usually Luke and Pete do all that, but I've got to. I'm genuinely concerned about the live stream. And that it's going to start, and we're somehow going to start at my worst nightmare. We just start accidentally streaming porn.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that can't happen. But what if it does?
It might. I mean, your internet history is...
It's protected.
Exactly.
Thank you, NordVPN.
So, yeah. But no, hopefully it's all okay. If it doesn't go well, then we're both smart men and we can... And most people think this goes live at 3. And we are going live at 2. So we've got an hour to play with, just in case.
Well, I mean, we don't. I've scheduled it for 2. I think it'll be fine.
But our fans are so nice that some of them will wait.
Well, there has been, because Andy used to be the producer before Pete took over, and now we don't have someone reading out the Super Chats with us. There's no Super Chats at all at the moment.
No.
But you got over that there were people calling themselves Andy Datson's number one fan
in the
YouTube comments.
It was interesting to see. And when you announced it, I was genuinely touched by the amount of people who... I mean, it wasn't hundreds, but it was probably... towards 30 people who were like, well, hey, Randy's back. So yeah, it was very nice to see.
You could say dozens.
That's the same amount of people who wanted my merch, in fact. Maybe double the amount of people who wanted my merch. But no, it was very nice to see. I'm very pleased to be here, even if it's just a 1 week push.
Just prepare yourself for the wave of backlash. Mm. Who's this?
The thing is, they have seen me, but some people have seen me before. Most people who've seen the ramble will have seen me before.
You singing, just turning up in various skits.
That's true, yeah. I'd appeared on the Ramble the other day to just talk for a bit and realised that everything I was saying was wrong about the Wrestle League. And I do the Wrestle League as well for people who are Patreons who might not know.
And what a sterling job you did this season.
Exactly.
Keeping track of all
only,
the points.
Only right at the end it was messed up. But, yeah.
So to add a bit more depth to your character and what people know about you. You tried protein powder for the first time this week.
Try protein
was that
powder.
Because you knew you were going to be doing
yeah,
this.
Yeah, exactly. So I bought myself a new Christmas jumper, which you'll see if you see the YouTube video. Mm. And I felt a bit loose. So I wanted to pack it out a bit. So I spoke to you, because you're my kind of fitness guru. You are the strongest man I know.
That's the blind lead in the blind.
And I said, Ollie, I really want to gain some weight because I've been the same weight since I was 17. I've been sort of 9.5 stone, which for British viewers is about 60 kilos since I was probably 17, 18. Mm. And it's got to the point where the lady partner's going, you need to gain some weight because I want to be able to put my head on your chest and not feel like I'm sort of using a xylophone as a pillow.
That is genuinely mean.
Yeah.
I mean, I used to be really, really skinny. I was underweight for ages.
Mm. I am underweight according to BMI.
For your height. And that was, I mean, I know it's probably not as bad as being overweight and the social stigma attached to that. But
she wants me to have something there. So what I do is I just get a sort of thin pillow and sort of put it on my chair. Then she uses that as a pillow.
Is it going to be a pillow? You know how you can get the anime pillows with cartoon characters drawn on life size? You could have an Andy pillow that lies on top of you.
Mm.
You need a memory foam layer is what you need.
But yeah, so I thought, you know what? Because I get full very quickly. So overeating is quite difficult for me.
Something you've got to train up to. You've got to push the stomach open.
So Ollie said to me, look, try this mass gain protein powder, I think it's called that or something. And I said, okay, what flavors are the best? And he said, well, chocolate and vanilla are usually the best
ones.
They're
all the same.
Yeah. And this one said kind of like, 1,250 calories per serving. I was like, wow, that's loads. That's like two meals. So I got it, and it turns out the reason it's that much is because it's just twice as much
lot of scoops.
Powder as any of the others. So it only lasts you, if you do it every day, it lasts you about 10 days. Mm. I tried it once, and it said if you do it with milk, it's an extra 200 calories. And I thought, great, I'll do it with milk.
Thicker.
And I took one sip and thought, this is the most disgusting thing I've ever put in my face. And it was so bad.
It's named your sex tape.
I went to the bathroom and thought, the only way I can drink this is if I just try and down it. But I'm going to go to the bathroom
in case you throw up.
In case I just gag on it. So I
also, the name of your sex tape.
And so I went to the bathroom, downed about half of it, and sort of, you know in comics where someone says boke, they kind of go, that kind
yeah,
that noise. And I thought, right, I gave myself a sort of, yeah. And then I gave myself like another five minutes and thought, right, I'm going to have to do the rest of it, and did. And just as the last mouthful, my gag reflex just went, nope. And the sort of probably about 100 milliliters just went straight into the sink.
Oh, no.
And I couldn't eat anything for about 5 hours afterwards because I felt so unwell. So I'm going to try it again. I'm going to try it with water because it might have been the thick consistency because I've got a lot of my parents say I'm very picky with food, but it's generally because I don't like the textures of food rather than the actual flavour.
Right. So that can sometimes be the problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm okay with textures and tastes, actually.
It's the viscosity that is my undoing.
My weakness is just vegetables and fruit.
Yeah, vegetables too. Generally, my mum made us a very lovely chili con carne last night.
With protein powder?
No, not with protein powder, thankfully.
Come on, help me out, mum.
But all of it, and then there's just like a small pile of red kidney beans just on the side. I don't really taste of anything. I just don't like the texture of beans. It's like eating a slightly undercooked small potato. In my mind.
Well, stick around, folks. We're going to talk SmackDown now, but when we come back, there's going to be Andy. You made a cake.
I did make a cake.
We're going to talk about
that. I went to Winter Wonderland. I had a week off, so you hear all the laughs.
Andy's adventures on his week off when he was meant to go abroad, but it just didn't happen. Mm. So he's just been sitting at home for a week, slowly going mad.
It has.
But we're about to talk about this actually genuinely really interesting character change for the Fiend and Bray Wyatt on SmackDown. And, I guess that first off, and then a terrible show for the rest of it. And then we'll be back. We'll see you in a bit. The Fiend and Bray Wyatt on this episode of SmackDown. Yes. For the first time ever, we got Mr. Rogers Bray in action.
Yes.
So this is really interesting. Last week's episode had the kind of cliffhanger moment of Daniel Bryan saying, yeah, you guys have brought back the yes movement. And everyone is going, yes, he's doing the yes thing. But then Bray comes up through the ring, as he is wont to do, pulls Bryan underneath it, and then rips out chunks of hair.
Do you think he just had chunks of hair under there? Or do you think Brian's under there with a pair of scissors, just doing it really quickly and just handing up bits of hair? Because I do genuinely think when he comes back, he's going to have the whole kind of old sort of when he was in the Nexus, that kind of haircut.
Potentially. The sort of, shaved
the
head. Buzzed,
yeah, the kind of, yeah. Because I think with this sort of gimmick change, because the long hair and the long beard kind of went with his eco-friendly gimmick, and now that he's kind of forgotten that he cares about the environment because he liked to say yes again, I feel like now he's going to have a sort of image change as well.
Yeah, just start driving a 4x4.
Yeah, exactly. Burning things in the middle of the ring. Yeah. Just kind of using plastic more than one, like just once.
Yeah, just like a bottle of water, taking one sip and then throwing it in the bin.
Yeah.
I think the Bryan stuff is interesting here, and it might play into a larger point because we didn't see him. And that was the whole like motivating factor behind this episode storyline. Miz comes out and says, yeah, I was meant to have a Miz TV segment with Daniel Bryan, but no one's seen him since last Friday's episode, which is, it's so stupid. I personally
put out a missing persons report then if he's actually missing.
I personally love it. I do find that bit of pro wrestling funny.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Miz is like, well, I don't like him. I don't. I'll never be friends with him. But I care about him
a lot.
I don't understand that.
No, I absolutely hate everything about him, but I really care. The fact that he's gone missing has really, really disturbed me.
Yeah,
and I want to find him. I will get to the bottom of this.
And that is kind of set up by Miz has gone up to Bryan in recent weeks and said, "Look, I'm worried about you. I'm worried, what the Fiend could do to your family." And I guess like Miz is really saying that from his character perspective. I'm saying I'm worried about you, but really, I want you to defeat the Fiend because I'm worried he'll come after me and everyone.
Which he has now done. But I mean, I'm pretty sure this is setting up Bryan Fiend at Rumble, because you'd think that they would want... They're basically using the Miz as a sort of obviously, I mean, okay, fine. If The Miz wins at TLC, then you can... I will do anything,
well,
but...
Well, this is it, yeah, because originally the reports had Fiend versus Bryan at TLC.
Yeah.
That's been the reported plan for a couple of weeks. But on this episode, they announced it's going to be The Miz versus Bray Wyatt, which you said about Wrestle League.
Yeah, I genuinely think it could be the first completely unanimous vote. I mean, I'm sure there'll be some people
There's
who don't really care about their points and will vote for The Miz, but... Honestly, if you actually think The Miz is going to win, then you really, without upsetting anyone, you are deluded.
I, you know, the difference maker here, because it's a feud based around family, Mizdad.
That's Miz. Mizdad could return, and
imagine that.
What if Bray Wyatt's dad comes back, just debuts?
IRS.
Mm.
Oh, he's not passed away, has he? He was very ill.
Yeah, I don't think he's...
I don't think... Let us know
Get
in
better
chat.
Soon.
But yeah, Mizdad. Yeah. That would be... I think that's where we all want the Fiend thing to go, to put over Mizdad. Mm. But So Miz is doing this promo, and Firefly Funhouse happens on the Titantron, and Bray starts to say, oh, because Miz was kind of saying it's the SmackDown family.
Mm.
I mean, it doesn't really work that dialogue, because surely The Fiend is, and Bray Wyatt is also part of the SmackDown family, but whatever. Bray Wyatt comes on screen and says, oh, I used to have a family.
Mm,
and it has this really quick...
With Bryan in his kind of sort of jumpsuit overall
thing. I didn't
thing.
See that.
Yeah, yeah. So Bryan was at the front with
I
Rowan.
I saw Rowan and Harper,
Harper,
yeah.
But it was Bryan at the front rather than actually...
Oh. That's really
so
good.
I thought it was really cool how they sort of played into the whole Wyatt family and then just kind of moved it over into Miz's family.
Yeah, because then Bray
because
says...
Miz has just had a new baby girl as well.
And he says, yeah, I mean, I could have your family, which is such like a creepy horror, like sociopathic horror movie thing to say. And he's got this picture of, Miz, Maurice and their two children... Monroe Sky.
So I looked it up. So it's Monroe Sky and Alden Presley.
Alden.
Which is a name.
I think they're naming them in the. Like, Miz has been in WWE so long.
Yeah.
He's just given them WWE style names.
Yeah, exactly. He's thinking, right, what can get them over in 20 years' time?
Hungry Harris. Yeah. Or Husky Harris.
Hungry Harris. Hungry Harris.
I'm mixing up that in the Pig Boy gimmick. But they. That this like prompts The Miz to go like run after him. By the way, I thought Bray Wyatt in this and The Miz.
Mm.
The Miz is like, obviously he's not Daniel Day-Lewis.
No.
But in wrestling terms.
From his days in Tough Enough, he has turned into something quite brilliant and on occasion.
And a very like really good screen actor because it's a different style of acting.
He's been in The Marine.
Exactly, yeah, he is. The A-lister.
The star of The Marine.
I mean, the joke about him being the A-lister is that he's not an A-lister, but now he's a babyface, and they're still trying to push the idea he's still a serious actor.
Is he a babyface? Because he's...
Yeah.
Because as much as he's kind of going, oh, I hate Daniel Bryan, but I'm scared for him, that's kind of... I would call him more of a tweener, but actually sort of leaning towards the heel.
I would say he's definitely a babyface in this, because...
Absolutely.
So Miz goes backstage and he's... I like this.
Mm.
It really put over the threat of The Fiend. He's on the phone to Maurice and he's like, lock the doors.
Yeah.
Bolt up. I don't know how you bolt up windows, but just like, you know, lock that S word down.
Turn the lights off.
Yeah. I'm coming home right now.
Yeah.
Really gets over the threat. But as he's walking along, he sees a room with a red light. He's like... Well, that looks more important.
It's like Amsterdam. He's like, wow, I really want to go and see that.
That like a waft of weed coming from it too.
Unless he was thinking, well, if The Fiend's in there, maybe I can tackle him at the source. Or it was just really quite thick.
Well, there is nothing to suggest ever that a room with a red light would have Bray Wyatt or The Fiend.
It's either Kane, the boogeyman... The Fiend, or now even Sheamus. It could have been Sheamus in there, practicing for later.
Just like in the shadows and he comes out.
Miz, what are you... I might do an Irish accent.
Go on.
Miz, what are you doing?
So Miz walks into this room, and it's quite coolly set up. There's just a kind of table set up with that picture of Miz's family that Bray had in the Firefly Funhouse segment.
Mm.
But Bray's face
photoshopped.
It
was his whole like jumper as well. Yeah. It was his red jumper.
And it was genuinely unsettling. And it was like that's such a good blood feud element to this. And it really, like, Miz was unsettled out of nowhere. And this is the big thing here. This is the big gimmick change that we went with for the thumbnail and title.
Hmm.
Bray Wyatt in Mr. Rogers' getup, in the cardigan, in the trousers, appears in our reality.
I don't know what he says. He says something, and then Miz goes, huh, and sort of turns around straight into a Sister Abigail onto the concrete.
Mm.
And then what did he say after? He said something after that. But then
she's
sort
my
of,
wife now.
Yeah, it's something creepy, and then kind of just sort of slides out of screen. And then it's the, then you get straight into the commercial break. And then when you come back, you've got the ref kind of, Miz, are you okay? And Miz sort of groggy and looking very scared.
Well, and so that is the first time we've ever seen Bray Wyatt, Mr. Rogers style.
Mm.
And outside of the Firefly Funhouse, not the Fiend. And then to double down on that they announced the Miz versus Bray Wyatt. Yeah.
At TLC,
rather than the Daniel Bryan one. Like you said, I think that's a great way to elongate the Bryan stuff. Because this question mark about where Bryan is in the background is really intriguing.
And the thing is, Bryan is an interesting enough character, a good enough promo and sort of wrestler to make the month and a half gap between TLC and Royal Rumble not seem like a month and a half. Whereas I think if he was feuding with The Miz for 2 months, that might get a bit...
Because
he's not as much as I like The Miz, he's not a main event star anymore.
No, and there is having that Fiend Bryan match with a bit of the the context of their previous match at Royal Rumble. I like the mirror image stuff there, but I think it's really important that Bray Wyatt is wrestling a match and not the Fiend here, and. People have put out their own theories, and I agree with this because Bray Wyatt, as a creative force, seems to have this level of attention to detail. And that is, the Fiend has no reason to attack to attack The Miz.
Yeah.
Because the Fiend only comes out to attack people that have wronged Wyatt in the past.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Daniel Bryan. But here, Bray and Miz never had any history.
Was there ever a Nexus versus Miz and Morrison match or something?
I doubt it. Yeah, Morrison left in 2011.
Yeah,
they didn't cross over, did they?
When Nexus was 2010.
Oh, yeah, Nexus. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I keep forgetting about that.
Yeah.
There was nothing substantial.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's no kind of hurt heel. He's not looking at his hands or anything like that. It's just kind of, I'm attacking you for fun.
And I don't know where they're going to go with this. And apart from the Seth Rollins stuff, which was like one of the biggest creative missteps in a decade for me, like absolutely unforgivable. Actually, everything else they've done with The Fiend has been spot on.
Yeah.
So I've got to kind of give them the benefit of the doubt there that this is going to turn out good. And it's actually a really interesting layer to what's already an amazingly deep character.
Yeah. I mean, you can... What I imagine they'll do is have Miz lose relatively quickly to the Fiend, and then the Fiend is kind of going at
him. To Bray Wyatt.
Sorry, so the Fiend or Bray Wyatt, whoever it is going at the Miz after the bell, and then you have the return of no hair Daniel Bryan to sort of set it up, or possibly on the night the sort of SmackDown after TLC. I think it would make more sense at TLC. Because we haven't seen it. And next week, it'll probably be again. I still haven't seen that. Here's what it'll be. The Miz will be at home, won't he? It'll be like a satellite. The Miz joins us via satellite from his home, and then there'll be red lights, and then he'll sort of do that sort of thing.
I don't think so. I think this is a Bray Wyatt. I think the Fiend's going to get a bit of a break.
Mm.
And I want to see him have a bit of a break. Like, maybe we don't see the Fiend again until next year.
Mm.
Until next decade, I can say. But for everything from now on is just Bray Wyatt, Firefly Funhouse, and you get over the side of Bray that hasn't been violent yet. Remember when Seth Rollins jumped, like he went into the Firefly Funhouse, yeah. and Bray was like, I'm not going to hurt you because that's not, you know, I'm non-violent. The Fiend's the violent part. So now we can explore how Bray isn't actually innocent either. He is a bit of a sick puppy too. But that's not to say there aren't ways they can ruin this.
No. Oh, I'm not saying they will, but past records would suggest that they probably are thinking about it.
When this whole gimmick first started, before we kind of got the full reveal of The Fiend, I was like, I love all this. I think it's amazing. I'm really worried about Bray wrestling in the cardigan in the ring. Because I don't know how you can visually and seriously transition this gimmick into an actual wrestling match.
But I agree that if you just have The Fiend wrestling the same match over and over, which is where he gets worked over, and just keeps kicking out, event, and then the babyface gets so frustrated that they do something stupid, mandible claw, win. If you just do that for every single match, it's not going to interest people.
But
if you introduce this other half of his personality, because it is a half, there are two people. If you introduce that into a match, even if you kind of do, I don't know, but it sounds so stupid, but like if they kind of flip around the entrance music, so you've got kind of got The Fiend, and then at the end it cuts into Firefly Funhouse, and he just comes out sort of all cheery, that could work. in his cardigan, walks down to the ring, and sort of acts like, Miz, why are we fighting? Like, what's this all about?
Or he does it all from a place of love, like, no, I want to join your family. And Miz like, F off! No, I'm going to beat you up now. But that is, you're totally right. You sort of change this character into what has been The Fiend does all the matches into more of a Balor demon split.
Yeah.
So you have Finn Balor wrestle, you have Bray Wyatt wrestle the weekly TV occasionally. Yeah.
I don't want him on weekly TV. I want him to be still a marquee sort of match haver. I don't want to see him wrestling Elias and Baron Corbin on weekly TV. Because he's like Brian, he's good enough to carry a storyline so that he only needs to have matches once a month.
But so I forgot the ways they can ruin it.
Yeah.
Music. Yeah. While all the time Bray Wyatt does a match, the Firefly Funhouse music's playing.
Have Maurice at ringside distract The Fiend into a schoolboy. Miz wins.
That also. Remember, it's Bray Wyatt, not The Fiend.
That's true. Bray Wyatt's a rubbish wrestler. The Fiend's great.
And puppets.
Yeah.
Puppets around the ring.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many ways that could ruin this. I mean, genuinely, as much as we were joking about it, I think bringing Miz Dad into it could possibly ruin it because it would be so goofy.
It would level up considerably.
Level up in many ways, but in terms of logic, which WWE is famous for, I think it would be a poor idea.
But Brian, I don't know if he's going to come back as a brainwashed...
So that I think that's the other possibility is that Brian comes back either as like this mega baby face, like I have to overthrow, or it's the beginning of a second Wyatt family.
Which probably is now not the time. Hold off on that. But I'm into it. I thought this was the best thing in WWE all week. Well, not count NXT. The best thing in sports entertainment all week.
Yeah, it was the best thing on the show a long way.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Thank you ever so much for joining us here today. Before we get out of here, we're going to thank our wonderful $25 a month or more pledge hammers on Patreon. So thank you. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride. Whoa, you get a cheap one.
Leader of the boys, Dalton Sizemore.
Love Dalton Castle. The incredible Tarzo.
Incredible stuff. Whoa. Spoken class today. Jeremy Smith.
So that's a Pearl Jam reference, apparently.
I don't know what that is.
The man who wears the gold. The man recognized by SWAF Nation International as the 24/7 champion. Our legend.
Woo! I thought there was a character limit on these things. The redneck Dennis Hicks. I nearly rolled an R.
Michael Plowman. That's his name. That name again is Michael Plowman.
Yeah, Simpsons. I like it. Join him, John. Yeah.
Iowa. Cheers, John. Big bad Blake Lloyd.
Well, he's very big and he's bad. Martin Santoyo talking to me. So I got there in the end.
The perfect storm, Noah Trombley.
Woo! And caught in a Travis Ware. Whoa.
So we've done our two-week trial of no super chats. On Tuesday's Raw, we're going to try a bit of a mix. Have we said this on this show yet?
We said it at the beginning. So there's going to be a mix. So there'll be a little five-minute segment just between the main topic and the rest of the show, just to sort of focus on the main topic, questions about the main topic. At the end, if we've got time, we'll do another 5 minutes or so of other. Maybe there's more on the main topic that we couldn't do. But there'll be other questions, other comments from people, and then we will switch over. Probably we're thinking to the website with a link, so you can head over there if you've still got super chats you want to listen to, if you haven't submitted any, or if you've still got one you've submitted and you haven't heard the answer to. Head over there, and we will do our best to answer all of them fully.
It's kind of like a post show.
Yes,
we'll just do a little post show, and that means like if you're watching on YouTube. And it's only an hour long as opposed to the hour 20, hour and a half. Sometimes an hour 40, I think our Survivor Series review was. You can watch that and not be put off by the length.
Have you got a name or are you sort of...
I don't know, WrestleTalk.
Names in the comments.
Yeah. So suggest some names in the comments. Right, so SmackDown is a full episode. Opened with the Miz stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went straight into Alexa Bliss's in-ring return. She's a babyface.
Wow. Yeah, this week she is. And you've got
Mandy Rose. Mandy.
So, interesting thing. So, I'm currently in the process of writing a few list articles for our end of year, which you will be then turning into scripts for the YouTube channel. But you will probably see some of them first on the website, some of them first on YouTube. But so, Mandy Rose, her contract expires next year.
Interesting.
And there's no one else that we know of on the women's roster, really, that is in the same situation. I would think of all the people, she's most likely to re-sign out.
Yeah.
Of all the but maybe, I don't know, maybe she's done with wrestling. I mean, she's not exactly, doesn't seem that, I mean, she's probably making a lot of money out of her modelling career as it is. She doesn't seem that bothered about the whole wrestling thing.
I don't know, I don't get an Eva Marie vibe.
No. No, I mean, she's a better wrestler than Eva Marie by a long way. I mean, she can sort of do a move.
More charisma as well.
But she's constantly overshadowed. And again, she was overshadowed. I mean, she was there to lose, as she often is. And it was, what, 3 minutes?
Oh, yeah. I thought this was a bad match.
Oh, yeah.
Alexa, I just don't think fits in a babyface role the same way Charlotte doesn't. But they did have a nice spot here. Mandy got Alexa on the floor and pulled off one of her fake eyelashes.
Yeah.
Which was pretty good.
As Michael, it felt like Michael Cole was trying to sell it as her actual eyelashes. Yeah. Those are her eyelashes on the ground. No, they're not.
No, yeah, they do that. Ladies do that at the end of the day. And it's quite easy.
Yeah, and it doesn't actually hurt that much more, as far as I'm aware.
But Nikki Cross took out Sonya on the outside. Yeah. Alexa hit a Twisted Bliss for the win.
Yeah.
That's all it was, really.
Mandy tells her, get off of my face, and then kicks her directly in the face. So that was a heel thing. But apart from that, it was pretty dull.
Then we got from this sort of... Yeah, that was just like dull, wasn't it?
Yeah.
This was actively, I want to turn off the show next. Dana Brooke is in catering. She is getting a bit of a 3-week push on account of her and Batista being a bit thirsty for each other on the search. Yeah.
So do you think she's just milking that to try and get a push? Or do you think they're actually going on a date?
I think she wants to go on a date with Batista.
I mean,
I want to go on a date with Batista. Exactly.
Doesn't, yeah. I guess. But yeah, so Drake Maverick walks in and sort of, oh, what's Batista got that I haven't? Obviously, sort of the whole joke about Drake Maverick since he started is that he's very small and looks a bit like a child. And some people think he looks like me. But yeah, and then in walks Elias.
Babyface Elias.
Babyface.
He made his return last week. He's got a weird... I have to see more of what his new thing is to fully get it. But he walks in. And Drake, by the way, as usual, is fantastic.
Yeah,
the material he's given isn't very good. But everything, the way he performs it, absolutely amazing.
Dana.
And Elias comes in. He does a song. But he does it so serious, so straight-faced, that it kind of undermines the comedic lines. And a lot of, like, it's very easy to make rhyming songs funny, as we've seen with Cena and The Rock in the past, and Elias when he had a babyface run before. But here, he insinuates that he slept with Maverick's wife.
Yeah,
Maverick storms off.
Pleasures himself rather than anyone else. With tissues.
Tissues and hand lotion.
Yes.
And Drake storms off and Dana says, did you really sleep with his wife? And Elias goes, oh no, are you being serious?
Yeah.
He says, no.
But something's going to happen,
But something serious is going to happen. And it was so like not fitting with the comedy gimmick he has.
Yeah.
I didn't hate it.
I'm not sure about his new gear or whatever he's wearing. He looks a bit like if you turned up to a sort of over 20s camp, he would be sitting by the campfire sort of as the sort of first thing you get to when you go there, and he'd be singing sort of, I don't know, Noah and the Whale songs and things like that. I don't get it. And then it cuts immediately to Drake in the ring.
Drake's in the ring, again, being brilliant. He is just talking up that everyone's making fun of him, and he's really good at working the live crowd, is one of Maverick's huge strengths. And Elias comes down with Dana Brooke, and he gets in the ring because Drake had challenged him to a fight. And Elias does all of the standard, your short spots. He's holding him back with his hand while Drake can't reach him. And then he bends Maverick over and just starts spanking him. And this was where I was like, I'm so glad my lady partner's asleep next to me right now and that no one can see I'm watching this.
I didn't notice any of that because behind Elias was a giant support WrestleTalk sign, which was there for the majority, right on the hard cam.
It was a really nice sign as well. Coloured in, bold.
With pictures.
Thank you, whoever that was.
Yeah, because you distracted me from what I was watching.
Wow.
But so since he's made his kind of main roster debut, he's been forced to wet himself.
Mm-hmm.
He's been spanked. He's failed to sleep with his wife several times. It's...
And he was the manager of AOP.
And what did we expect? Because he is... He's, are we allowed to say 5'7"? We can say, yeah.
I think, yeah.
He's about, sort of 5'6", 5'7". it was this was always going to happen. I mean, coming up from Impact, he's probably getting a lot more money than he was, but he was. This was always going to happen.
Yeah,
and he's British.
And just like Dana's fake laughing on the outside, yeah. Really, it was so obnoxious. And it ended up where I wasn't into Elias as a babyface here. I thought it came across as quite mean-spirited, and I felt sorry for Drake.
Yeah.
So I thought this was a complete failure of a segment.
Because I was away last week, I didn't see SmackDown live, so I just kind of watched the highlights. And nothing that I've seen so far suggests that Elias is a babyface, apart from the fact that he's not kind of crapping on the hometown.
Yeah. Well, that is it, though, isn't it? That's what makes a heel. And then Dana gets in after Elias hits a drift away, and Dana gets a pin that Elias counts. Then we get the Miz bit backstage. He sees the weird lighting. We've spoken about that. Tribute to the troops, tweet graphic wall thing. And then we got the tag titles number one contender match.
The only, well, other than the main event, this was the only sort of
wrestling
watchable match.
It was Lucha. I've written Lucha Bros. If only it was Lucha Bros. It was Lucha House Party versus Chad Gable and Ali.
Hey, do you want some more contract talk?
Or should I just versus Heavy Machinery and The Revival and The New Day are on the commentary desk outside watching it all? It was an elimination match. What's the
both Kalisto and Grand Metalik's contracts run out in June?
Oh my god!
So they've got to go. I mean, remember Grand Metalik debuted. He was a lot of people won't know because of how he's been portrayed, but he was considered one of the best luchadors in the world.
Yeah.
And then he comes runner up in the Cruiserweight Classic. And you're thinking, brilliant. So they've established him as a future star. Has a few good matches on 205 Live when it moves over, and then he gets put in the Lucha House Party, and everyone hates them, and they never win anything.
Yeah,
he had a match with Rey Mysterio a few weeks ago, and that was it.
Big high-profile invaders in Survivor Series.
Yeah, exactly. They injured Lars Sullivan, which is one of the only things they've done, which for some people might be a blessing. But so they have to go, I think. But it was nice to see that they at least have matches still. I think it was probably a case of, right, we've got three teams, but this is a fatal four-way. So first person to write your name down on here, you can have a match.
And they are they're a good team to put in to do some high spots and then get eliminated.
Exactly, they did immediately.
They are so much more than that, but unfortunately that's where WWE have slotted them. But this wasn't amazing. It was just like quite a standard four-way elimination. Yeah. Otis is just something else. I remember when, because it was after Mania this year when Heavy Machinery were called up.
And no one knew what was going on.
And Otis was doing his spots, and he's added so much more to that since. Mm. And the Caterpillar would only get over halfway through the Caterpillar. Yeah. And it's just, this is such an important lesson for getting over spots and giving it time. People always forget that when the New Age Outlaws debuted, it took about 6 months before people started doing the intro along with Road Dogg. And we're seeing that now. This was one of the most over things on the show when Otis just ran through his spots.
As soon as he comes in the ring, the crowd completely it felt like the crowd was sort of just watching. And then as soon as he just got into the ring, there's just a massive change in the whole atmosphere in the entire arena. And he's just a star. I know he's never going to be a main event star, but in his role, he's absolutely perfect. And Liam, one of our website, Otis is his favorite wrestler in the entire world.
Is he really?
He loves Otis. Every time he gets in the ring, every time there's like a mystery opponent, he's like, it's got to be Otis, surely. And the thing is, if it was Otis, people were like, it's Otis.
Yeah.
People would love it. But Lucha House Party do a high spot. They kind of do a tandem sort of dive. They get blindsided by Tucker. Crash Compactor, they're out.
Yeah.
But he's just fantastic. And then you've got him sort of charging up, hits the Caterpillar.
Do a huge pop.
Yeah, and then almost immediately he gets sort of rolled up quite awkwardly by Wilder, I think.
Yeah, it was.
And then the whole crowd just went, huh.
And then we got the Ali and Gable with the Revival. It was good stuff. And then the Revival won. So after that, the Revival cut a really decent promo, I thought.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, properly emotion filled. And they kept on saying how they're going to make this match what they do best, and that's fundamentals. Like, yeah, we're going to have a straight tag team wrestling match. We're going to prove to you, New Day, why we're the best tag team in the world. Which says to me, New Day are going to make it a stipulation match. Because it's TLC.
Yeah.
They've got a fright. They've got next week's Go Home episode to add
something. They did say no pancakes, no unicorns. So what does that leave them? What else is in there getting? Pancake batter?
I just think they make it a... I mean, I love TLC matches and ladder matches. Mm. I want to see the New Day and the Revival do a TLC match. Or a ladder match.
A ladder match would be great.
Tables and chairs I don't care about.
Yeah, I mean, they'd have a brilliant match. I mean, we have seen this match plenty of times.
Well, that's it. That's why I think it needs a stipulation. Because right now, New Day and the Revival for the tag titles, I don't care.
Yeah, no, that was my feeling when the Revival won. I mean, I knew as soon as it was them, the final two teams, I was like, well, the Revival are winning here. They're not going to have Gable and Ali go over here. Oh, sorry, he's now Mustafa Ali again.
He's
isn't
Mustafa,
he?
Is he?
Yeah, I mean, it was a good promo. It was nice to see the sort of bit of fire. I mean, they're sort of, overall, they're 10-time champions. So the New Day's got 7, they've got 3. I mean, they're probably off in April. I think Wilder's got 10 weeks more. But while they've got them, they have to make the most of the Revival.
Or just bury them.
But the thing is that you would have thought they would have buried them by now.
They have. Loads of times. Yeah, and then they give them a title.
I want to talk about the next thing.
So Roman Reigns comes in to talk to Kayla Braxton backstage, and he's talking about what happened last week with Bobby Roode, where he tried to, you know, essentially
kill him.
Kill him
with a mace.
Doing a curb stomp on a chair, but the foot is a mace.
I don't think Roman... Everyone's like, oh, Roman really overreacted. I don't think he did. Like, pushing a table onto someone, he almost killed him.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a valid response. So he's talking that up and how he's going to face Dolph Ziggler tonight. But then he shifts his attention to the guy who's actually behind all this all, the leader of the Midcard Vortex, King Corbin. And he says, the man is 6'6", almost 6'8".
If only there was a height between 6'6 and 6'8 that you could be. I mean, just say the man is 6'6".
Maybe you're so tall, you're such a tall 6'6".
Yeah.
You might as well be 6'8". I mean, that is wrestling promotion, isn't it? Well, you know, you fiddle the numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
But that tiny little line is actually really, really interesting. I've got a whole bit about it in my video coming up later, which is the SmackDown review with a bit of news at the end. Mm. And it's in that news part. Apparently it's a Vince McMahon thing.
Yeah.
He genuinely...
It's on the list.
Then we got a little promo thing for CM Punk on WWE backstage on Tuesday. Then we got the Sheamus promo doing Who's That Pokemon?
The Sheamus promo, which was sort of... Yeah, we know who this is. And he just kind of did his, I'm Irish, I'm a Celtic warrior. There was some Irish sort of...
It was like
horns and things going on in the background. So it looks like he's returning. That's the gimmick he's returning to. He's not going to... The bar is no more. Sheamus is coming for probably the IC championship in a couple of months.
Which, I love Sheamus. I'm really glad he hasn't had to retire.
Because,
you know, he was suffering from, I think it was spinal stenosis, wasn't it? Which I don't think you can recover from, but you can manage it.
Yeah.
So it's great to see him back. But yeah, his whole thing was, everyone's weak on SmackDown. I'm going to be the tough guy.
Yeah, so he's a heel.
That's what Drew McIntyre's doing on Raw.
Drew McIntyre's Scottish. Sheamus is Irish. So it's basically the same thing.
Yeah, I think to Vince they sound
so similar. And they've both got beards and they've both got hair and they're both quite pale. And they're very muscly. So same thing, really.
Then we got Lacey Evans in a win in a squash match against
Nia Jax.
Against Hayley Jones. I guess you're saying Nia Jax because of the weird outfit she was wearing.
Was dressed like Nia. She had the whole sort of Nia Jax. I don't know what Nia Jax's thing is called, but it's the sort of whole body thing with the kind of Power Rangers outfit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. With the kind of leotard, shiny leotard thing. It was maybe 45 seconds punch. But that wasn't really the point.
But the commentators said that this jobber, Haley Jones, sorry, enhancement talent. I don't like calling people jobbers.
No.
What? It's a lion tamer.
That's
why she was dressed that way.
That's her gimmick.
I just couldn't get past the fact that the way she was dressed, it just looked like Lacey Evans was roughing up a LARPer.
It wasn't really a match, but like I said, that wasn't really the point of this match. The point of the match was to bring out the boss.
Yeah, so Sasha Banks comes down. They have a bit of a war of words. Yeah. Lacey is a babyface. She has been for a week now, I guess. I think it's another complete miscasting. And look, what do they all have in common? Alexa, Charlotte, Lacey, they're all clear heels. They're all blonde.
Yeah.
I know. It sounds really crude, but it's so obvious now. Yeah.
Dana Brooke's getting a little push.
Vince McMahon and Kevin Dunn, this is over years, decades that people have said this. Their ideal woman is, well, Attitude Era blonde girl.
Yeah.
And now these old dogs cannot learn new tricks. And we're seeing it where they want to push the faces of the company.
Yeah.
In reverse, where they see this image and then they retrofit it to someone who looks like it, even though their natural charisma or sort of character doesn't suit it.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And I get that it is a good story that she used to be a Marine, because in America, being a member of the armed forces is just a huge deal.
The theory I was thinking is like the tribute to the troops, Lacey's getting a push ahead of that. She'll probably have a match with Bailey, I guess, at TLC because she's the champion.
Or maybe Sasha first, big Royal Rumble match.
Yeah, possibly. But yeah, I mean, she's getting the tribute to the troops push.
Yeah.
I mean, she was pushed in both of the tribute to the troops promo packages. But yeah, so Sasha kind of comes down and says, "You're a bad role model to your daughter." Ooh, and obviously she's like, "Oh, don't you say that about my daughter." It's kind of the whole don't mention my family thing again, as it often is in WWE. And she's like, "I'm not just a mother, I'm a Marine," which of course gets the "Hey, Army pop."
USA. USA.
Exactly. And Lacey, I thought, was mildly over. Like, compared to the other women who are on this show.
Was she over, or was the word Marine over?
That's true.
You know, like how
do you reckon she's going to be in the Marine 7 or 8?
I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Lacey sort of fakes out a punch to Sasha. Sasha drops to the floor. Nice little heel thing there. And Lacey goes up the ramp, looks back to the ring.
Which you should never, ever do.
I think that's everything sorted here. And Bailey clatters her.
Yeah.
She attacks her from behind, but that was just such a face plant. It looked really good. And the heels celebrate over it.
Yeah.
Then we got the Miz and Bray Wyatt announcements of the match. Reigns versus Corbin in a TLC match was also confirmed.
Shane McMahon was going to be on NCIS LA, so tune in.
That image, the promo image for it, just looks like he won a competition. Yeah.
Do you reckon he's going to be like... What they generally are on these guests are sort of guest sort of investigators. He'll walk in and go, "Oh, we need a guy from the X division in," and he'll come in and go, "Oh, yeah, I'm detective, whatever." And then he'll be the guy who sort of whips off his shades and goes, "Yeah, well, so what have we got here?"
Bitch.
Yeah, exactly. And then he does coast to coast on the criminal.
Or falls off something very right. I don't know why this is a thing.
No.
When has Shane McMahon ever...
ever been an actor?
Yeah. He's going to get very sweaty, especially the amount of body armor.
He's in LA, LA as well. Yeah. So.
Then we had the tribute to the troops video package, which was very nice.
Yeah.
Braun Strowman.
Trying to squeeze into a little plane cockpit. And he was like,
"Laughing at my
automobile. Fits like a glove."
Yeah. Roman Reigns was there. It was nice. Yeah, Kurt Angle was there as well.
Mm.
And then we got the main event of Roman Reigns versus Dolph Ziggler. I thought this was I tuned out in this match.
It wasn't exciting because, again, I don't think anyone in the crowd expected it to have a proper finish. I mean, it had a finish, But then, once again, it was the whole post-match angle that people cared about. Roman Reigns and Dolph Ziggler have had so many matches that I could close my eyes and pretty much tell you what was happening. So
rest hold.
Dolph gets on top, throws Roman into some things. Roman gets a comeback. Dolph sort of scuppers him. And then there's a big kind of spot on the outside. So Roman goes to clothesline him sort of off the steps. Dolph hits the super kick. And then royal music.
Yeah. It's a standard Reigns template match. Mm. And it's not just it was repetitive and stale in the ring. I think it's because if you zoom out, it's the mid-card again.
Yeah.
It's the same stuff with when we were getting Shane McMahon, Drew McIntyre, and Elias as that heel faction. Baron, Drew, and Bobby as that heel faction. It's just, and now we've got Baron, Bobby, and Dolph as a heel faction. It's just like, it's not interesting.
No.
I love Corbin, but this isn't, he's not good enough to be the top heel on a show and wrestling against Roman. And also, I get that Roman's really, really good.
Yeah.
And I love Roman now. And I think, yeah, he's finally clicked after... Yeah.
And he was quite over in this match. I thought people were even chanting Roman, Roman, Roman at one point.
But the idea that he can only ever face groups of three men or more is tedious. I just build up other... Like, I'd be so much more into a Samoa Joe versus Roman match. Because I don't believe in Ziggler, Corbin, and Bobby beating him, nor do I care. So, and that's what we got here.
Yeah.
Corbin came in and sort of tried to interfere, but Roman overcame and speared Dolph for the win. And then Corbin came in. Everyone's beating up Roman. Roman powers out, but Corbin had six dudes with him.
Yeah, they were like the Dark Order's little... What are they called?
Minions,
yeah. So they kind of started hitting him. Obviously, he overpowered all of them because six men can't take down one man unless they're trained in real fighting.
Aikido.
And then Corbin comes in with one clock.
Yeah.
But have you heard that Roman is the very big favorite to win the Rumble? So that's another multi-man match that he will overcome the odds in,
well,
I'm sure.
I think CM Punk's the favourite.
So Dolph and Corbin come in, and then something utterly bizarre happens.
Well, there's another late. So what happens, and what you've probably seen around, is they handcuff Roman to the ring post. So they cuff both his hands and they suspend that over the ring post. So he's sort of hanging.
That was the first image I saw on Twitter this morning. So I didn't know when I went to watch the show what had happened. You were like, I won't spoil it for you. So I was thinking, oh, he's going to get a kendo stick or something and hit him while he's on there. No, not that.
No, not a serious injury angle that would create some kind of dramatic interest. They both got tins of dog food and poured it over Roman. And then they walked off laughing, and Roman's going, blah!
Do you reckon this was a Triple H written spot?
No, I don't.
Because it was pedigree chum. Can I come on next week as well?
I don't think so. but that was awful. I think we can all agree that was awful. It's embarrassing. It's childish. Fox, I thought we were getting a more sports-based show on Fox.
Yeah, it was. And Corey and Cole were trying so hard to put this over as like a kind of, what if he can't wrestle at TLC? He got some gravy on his ear now. I mean, he might get sort of like vertigo or something.
The amount of grease in his hair, it should just slide off. Thankfully.
Exactly.
But what I want to know that no one's talking about, a hand grabbed Roman's foot from underneath the ring.
I think, surely that was one of his minions.
It was one of the minions, but it just came out of nowhere. And the commentary said, someone's grabbed his foot from under the ring. And that was the thing that turned the tide for the heels to get on top of Roman. So I'm just like, that's so weird. And it never played into anything again. Anyway, I thought it was off. I thought it was a terrible spot. Mm. It's a lackluster feud. And the only good thing on this show, really, but it was very good, is the Bray Miz stuff.
Yeah.
I found a lot of this show embarrassing to watch as a wrestling fan.
Yeah, I mean, because of my schedule, my kind of work schedule, I don't get to see a lot of live shows, and I kind of watch shows sort of fragmented. So I haven't watched like a full show
sat down
the whole way
show.
Through in a while just because of that. And I just remembered that, like, yeah, the way I do it is actually quite a lot better.
because the
show finished, and the lasting image I had was Roman Reigns kind of going, I've got dog food on my face, and I smell. I'm going to go backstage, and everyone's going to go, Roman smells of dog food. And it's just that's not sport. And if they want to have a sport like AEW, you wouldn't have. Bias.
Yeah, we've got bias. We pay the checks.
Another promotion wouldn't do that, where they kind of think, right, this is a serious feud.
Mm-hmm.
They'd end it with a beatdown. They'd end it with a chair shot. They'd end it with something with Roman lying in the ring because he's been just physically destroyed, not handcuffed to a post. And when you've got someone handcuffed to a post and you want to humiliate them, you've got... They can't do anything. They've got their legs thrashing around, but you've got their whole upper body to focus on. And, I mean, they must have been sure they were going to win that match because they just... Where did they get it? Is it under the ring, the dog food?
I think it was under the ring.
Yeah.
If you really wanted to humiliate him, feed it. Feed him it. That's pretty gross.
Yeah.
But even that wouldn't have been good.
No.
So overall, I gave it a 2 out of 5. What would you
rate? I mean, for my first rating, probably, a 2 out of 5. There was
SmackDown.
But that was all for Miz and...
Definitely.
And The Fiend. And also, I'm excited to see what Sheamus does when he comes back.
Yeah.
But other than that, it was... It just... Nothing really happened. And what did happen was so goofy, like the whole Drake Maverick stuff and the whole dog food thing.
Mm.
That it's just kind of, I forget that anything good happened originally.
Yeah. Just before we get on to the Patreon shout-outs, I know we're not doing Super Chats on this episode, but thank you, Dan, for a big pledge there, saying Andy Datson is the absolute best man. Merry Christmas, boy.
Thank you very much, Dan. Yeah, Dan messaged me also on Discord to say, unable to be live when you return to YouTube. Uh-huh. I wish you the best of luck.
Oh, that's very kind.
Possibly the nicest man I've ever met.
He's lovely. He's come to the studio as well.
Mm.
And Kevin said, Wrestle Talk after live. Winter Wonderland.
Mm.
It's everywhere now. I remember, 6-7 years ago when this thing started? It was big.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, an event that I could go to without crippling social anxiety. But it's so large now.
Yeah. So for the people who might not know, I'm assuming there are Winter Wonderlands around the world.
I think it's been expanded out. Yeah.
There's a giant one in Hyde Park in sort of central London, which is genuinely probably, if you wanted to walk around the whole thing, probably half an hour, but you're stopping at everything anyway.
And it's all the same.
And it's all the same, and it's all horribly expensive. It's free to get in, and then they sort of trick you, and then and then generally it's a sort of thing that you either go with your partner or with, like, if you've got kids, then you'll go with them.
I always used to go with a gang of mates for my mate's birthday every year. First year we haven't been, actually, because there is a bar on a roundabout,
yes,
a carousel,
yeah,
that goes round, and I people know
slow.
That I get pretty motion sick anyway,
but it's so slow.
I know. I still manage to get really ill.
I was watching it thinking, I wouldn't even notice that I was spinning because it was so slow. But anyway, so I went with my lady. I've never been before, which, having lived in the sort of near London for 7 years, or my whole life, it's quite impressive. But I went with my lady partner, and I thought, you know, I have to win her something, because that's what you do, isn't it? All the kind of romantic films and TV shows, the guy wins a big teddy bear by being good at throwing. Luckily,
you're good at throwing.
Luckily,
did you bring your own Nerf ball?
No, I didn't. But I have played many sports in my life which involve throwing, so I was quietly confident that I'd be able to win something, because I was thinking, I'm incredibly competitive. So I thought, those two mixed together, I'm either going to spend loads of money and win nothing, or I could spend
loads of
money and win something.
So, but either way,
yeah,
you're going to spend loads
of
money.
But on the way in, we spotted someone with this giant dog. And she got excited at that. So I was like, well, I'm going to have to find
this stall. She could put her head on the giant dog.
Exactly. Roman Reigns is not going to be there. But the first thing we saw was it was a giant dog. And the idea was you had to sort of get one basket with a basketball.
Oh, but the ones that are kind of gimmicked.
But they're gimmicked and they're very like springy and they're much lower. So you've kind of got to throw them very flat.
Yeah.
And I gave that one go and I didn't feel comfortable. So I said, look, and then she spotted someone with a big teddy and was like, and she really fell in love with that. So we went, walked around looking for the big teddy. And it turned out that was like knocking the sort of stacked cups down.
Okay, that's your wheelhouse.
Exactly. So you got two kind of sort of heavy-ish bean bags to knock off, not just knock them down, knock them off the shelf. So I paid for two goes because I was thinking you got to kind of get your tactics involved in the first one.
They reset, do they?
Yeah, after two, yeah. Right. So I threw it
the first one was a practice round.
I threw it dead center and I realized that was wrong because basically all that does is knock down the middle one and all the rest sort of fall next to it. So I thought, right, you've got to pick the one where the cups are closest together because if they're far apart, then you've got less chance of knocking them all over. So I've picked the one with the cups close together and aimed sort of bottom right between the bottom right and the middle cup. And that knocked over off all of them but two, which were sort of lying next to each other. And I thought, if I can just hit these two right in the middle. And thankfully, it wasn't a very long throw. So I managed to get it and I got this giant teddy bear.
You won it?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, the issue was that we did that right at the beginning and we were there for another hour and a half. So she was sort of carrying around this giant teddy bear. But I thought, I want to win something. And I've got a dog.
What happened there is you got competitive with yourself.
Exactly.
For winning something.
Yeah.
So it felt like your lady partner had won the thing.
So we'd won. We spotted this giant hedgehog. And when I say giant hedgehog, it's probably.
A Sonic?
No, it was just a sort of hedgehog thing. But I couldn't put my arms right the whole way around it. That's how big it was.
Made of my sex tape.
Exactly. The game was you had to hit bottles that are on a wall, just like printed bottles on with darts. And I have a dartboard in my room and I play darts sort of several times a day if I'm at home. So I was like, right, this is going to be simple. But I was really quite nervous. I was thinking, because I know I play darts, but turned out that it was so close to the target. And you had to bet, I think you had to get like 9 out of 10 to get the big prize. You had to get 7 out of 10 to get a medium prize. And it turned out that it was so close that I just kind of got, I think I got 9. I think I missed one, but like the first time round. And I thought,
you got the big, I got the big prize again.
I got the giant thing.
But
the
hedgehog.
It was so heavy that I was carrying, they gave me the plastic bag and I was sort of carrying it over my shoulder like Santa. Yeah. I was carrying that around for ages. So we were just walking around with these. But there were some people there who had clearly gone probably with sort of families in mind thinking, right, if we can just win a bunch of giant toys, that's all of our like nieces and nephews sorted for Christmas. And they were carrying around like these just like each of them had like three giant things each, like a giant banana, giant, and there was a stall with like Pikachus and stuff.
Pikachu!
Exactly. It was a very nice night.
Must have looked like badasses. Walking around with two of the biggest prizes.
Yeah, I did feel I was quietly very pleased with myself.
Because
there were some people watching us play darts. There were some people watching us play darts and sort of going, wow, that was. And I was shocked that I'd managed to do it like first time.
Someone come up to you and say, have you ever considered playing darts professionally?
Yeah, well, no, they didn't actually.
Could have been talent spot.
I'm not consistent enough to play darts professionally. I've always wanted to sort of give it a go in a local pub, but I can be really good for one day and then I can just be rubbish for the next 3 days. So
did you sense anyone's like any other boyfriends?
There was a genuine crowd behind us. Probably not just boyfriends. But like, just
why can't I win my lady partner?
Just
an
weak,
oversized, fluffy.
Yeah,
pig.
Weak men watching me sort of outdo them, really. But then as soon as I won that, there was the kind of, you know, when you talking to a, not to disrespect my lady partner at all, but you know, when a toddler has a toy and then you pick up another toy and then
she wants
they
that
go,
toy, yeah.
I like that toy, even though they've said how much they want that toy. She was like, oh, that's so cute. I really want the... So she has now got them both in her bedroom because I
don't really
want to carry the giant hedgehog on the Jubilee line during rush hour because it takes up about the space of about three people standing. And I thought that it would be a bit annoying for people.
You should bring it into the office. Hedgehog.
See, I was thinking that, but I just thought Laurie would probably destroy it somehow.
Yeah, he'd rip it open.
It'd probably get kicked a lot.
Pull out its stuff in. It would be here,
and if he got annoyed or something, he would just turn around and punch it.
If it's as big as you're saying, I would splash it. I would stand on this desk and I would do a splash.
I think you could probably just about splash it. It's not like super tall, but it's
got
a good
heft.
Like that, and it's full of those like little foam beans. So.
Just before we get out of here, I want to talk Star Wars with you.
Yeah, I've been playing it this week.
Well, I wanted to talk because, you know, Episode 9 is out soon, within weeks. So I've gone back and started to rewatch all of the previous films. I'm now halfway through Episode 2.
You do get very slowly because Episode 1 last week.
Well, I think when it gets good, I'll start picking up the pace. Mm. Christ alive, is Episode 2 bad?
But it was my favourite growing up.
Yeah, I know, that's weird. I remember when I first watched all the prequels when I was a kid, without proper critical capabilities, I liked 2 the most.
The reason it being because there was the most Jedi just fighting.
It was the big battle at the
end.
And
because I was sort of probably... When did it come out?
2001, maybe?
2002? Attack of the Clones, I think, was sort of... We're going to get corrected, but it's 2002, 2003.
Yeah.
And I was sort of... 8, 9, and that was the fun I first like. Oh, Natalie Portman is very pretty, like as Padme in her kind of white thing. And I was like, wow, I really like this one because it's got her in it.
This was your sexual awakening,
exactly.
This was your Cameron Diaz in the mask.
But then watching it back to 5, 10 years later, you realise how awful all of it is because it's kind of the whole I don't like sand. And their whole romance story arc is so horrible.
It's really problematic as well, just because I can't get over the fact that at the start of the episode, she says, "You'll always be that little boy to me."
Yeah, exactly.
And then she like lets her bone him.
Yeah,
wait,
and it's the kind of sort of the sort of stepbrother, stepson thing.
But like, if you look at it through a fantasy lens, like that's not uncommon in fantasy literature.
See, my dad is not a fan of like fantasy fiction, fantasy sort of films of that genre at all. But he has watched Star Wars. But the thing that he cannot get over is why on earth you would put Jar Jar Binks in charge of the whole thing.
Yeah, that's another thing.
Because he, on his top trump card... He has like 2 out of 20 brain, and he's proved in the first one that he only won that battle because of luck. He was a complete moron. Exactly. Yeah. And he's just an idiot. And then they go to, they say, oh, Jar Jar Binks, I trust you, Senator Binks. And then Senator Palpatine goes, oh, if only someone was brave enough to give me full power. And then just Jar Jar Binks goes, all right.
Yeah, there you go, mate.
And it's like, and then Jar Jar Binks has doomed everyone.
Mm. Well, there is a theory. Unfortunately, it was kind of...
Darth Jar Jar.
Yeah, that he was going to be behind...
One of the biggest theories of all time, but it clearly didn't happen because that sort of...
Because Rian Johnson wanted to get diversity in.
Exactly.
They're a great dance troupe, but I don't want to see them in the Star Wars franchise.
No.
Anyway, that's all we've got time for today. Hopefully you enjoyed this pairing.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy this pairing?
I enjoyed this pairing. I thought we were very good...
We haven't even done the live show yet.
No, exactly.
And that's the bulk of the show.
Mm.
So it could all go tits up. But anyway, me and Luke will be back on Tuesday with Raw. Now, the Super Chat debate rages on. We've done our 2-week trial of no Super Chats. So on Tuesday, we're going to try and do the best of both worlds because compromise is halfway happy for everyone. Isn't that what we want? Where we're all just a little bit happy and no one's... really angry or really, really ecstatic. So we're going to try and make it a 1-hour show. And we're going to answer Super Chats within that 1-hour show. But when it gets to the 1-hour time limit, we cut it off. That's where it's going to stay for the podcast. And as an extra video on the website, we'll answer all the rest of the Super Chats. Mm-hmm. So if you want to hear those, you can go and listen to them. But for the podcast, it will just be that hour-long main show. and then the intro and outro either side. So hopefully that will make it a bit more easier on your ears. And please do spread the message around for the WrestleTalk podcast. Love. So many people got in touch this week because we came up on their Spotify most listened
to. Oh, yeah, I saw that. It was very nice to, see.
But yeah, have a great rest of the weekend. Luke usually does the sign out thing.
Mm.
Do you want to do something?
Well, I don't really have one. I could roll an R, but you might get very cross.
I don't want that.
No, exactly.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.